In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Western Holy Week began this year with a very tragic event, and that, of course, was the near destruction of the Cathedral of Notre Dame in Paris. And one of the points that some people made as they considered that beautiful edifice, excuse me, is something that I think a lot of modern people can't really appreciate. The cathedral was constructed from 1163 to 1345. 1163 to 1345. If you Google who was the architect or the builder of that cathedral, you're going to find that there were multiple architects over the years, which would make sense, because nobody can live from 1163 to 1345. Imagine that this church that was the, if you will, the idea of Bishop Maurice de Sully in 1160, it was his idea, but he knew from the time that he wanted this cathedral built through 1163, when Pope Alexander laid the foundation, he knew he would never see it come to completion. And there were not only architects working on the building, but lots of workers. Imagine showing up to work in the morning, and you know that you are never going to see the completion of your handiwork. That is staggering to so many of us who are accustomed in our own world, where a building gets begun and finished, poof, just like that, homes in a matter of months. 1163 to 1345. How is it possible for people to do that? To say, I'm going to build this building and I'm never going to see its completion. Well, it's possible when your motives are love and faith and devotion and sacrifice, when your vision is set on not tomorrow, but eternity. And it's possible when a person goes through life understanding that there are things in life greater than we are, greater than I am, greater than we who call ourselves humans. Now, that should make a lot of sense to us, at least I hope it would. We are the inheritors, first, of 3,500 years of Judeo-Christian tradition. Remember that we are the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. And because also we have 2,000 years of Christian tradition that we ourselves are the inheritors of. And so all of the people who lived before us, the faithful people of the Old Testament, the Christians who lived before us, they all contributed something as workers, as architects, as planners, so that we could be here today, so that you and I could be here today. Especially if we think about Palm Sunday, think about the apostles on Palm Sunday. They'd already been through so much with Jesus, and now they see him entering into Jerusalem on the foal of a donkey, as we like to translate for obvious reasons. And even if they knew their Old Testament well and knew that this was just another fulfillment of God's promise to the people of the Old Testament, even then, could they ever have imagined what would have happened, not simply in the coming days, but in the two millennia that would follow, that this time they spent with this God-man Jesus would lead to a world-changing religion. A religion today that continues to shape people's lives, that continues to save people. And it's a religion that continues to grow. We read about Christianity shrinking in the Western world, and it is, but Christianity continues to grow in the developing world, in the so-called third world, which I suppose is why it's a threat to so many people. And today, Western Holy Week ended with another tragedy, and if you read the news this morning, you know that through a series of bombings, about 200 Christians were murdered in Sri Lanka. But it's because it's a growing religion, it is a threat. And it's funny to think that a religion that preaches love and peace and forgiveness would be a threat to others. Now, church buildings get completed. And that is absolutely true. We are in a completed church building, a building that people took occupancy of in 1964. But remember, the church isn't a building, the church is the people. You and I are the church. And if that is the case, then the church is always under construction, even when the building is completed. You and I are those builders of the church. And again, this should make perfect sense to us. What does Jesus say to Peter in Matthew 16? I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the powers of death shall not prevail against it. In Western Christianity, this is the biblical basis of the primacy of Rome, but we would say, in our understanding of these words of Jesus, that means that everyone who confesses Christ to be the Son of the living God is in fact the rock upon which the church is built. And St. Paul writes in his letter to the Ephesians, so then you are no longer strangers and sojourners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also built into it for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Lots of building language, but none of it has to do with beams or bricks or any other such thing. It talks about the building up of the real church. Now, I would submit, by the way, that the generations that built the Cathedral of Notre Dame understood all this perfectly. They had to. Because otherwise, how could you possibly devote your life's work to something you'll never see completed? Now, what about us? We come to liturgy today to take a palm cross home, and that's great. It's great to take home a tangible symbol, remembrance, reminder of our Christianity, of our faith. Most people will take their palm after a while and perhaps stick it between one of their icons in the wall. That's a good thing. But I would hope that as we bring this cross home to our physical homes, that we would remind ourselves that when it comes to the church, you and I have a responsibility now and always to be builders of the church. And I contrast builders with occupants. We are not occupants. And it's easy to approach church from the perspective of being an occupant, isn't it? Because the occupant says this, you know, I came to church today, I didn't get anything out of the sermon. The builder says, you know, I was at church today, and I could see that the priest was struggling, and I really prayed for him. The occupant comes to a church, not this church, goodness gracious, but other churches. They go, nobody talked to me. But the builder says, I arrived early, I stayed for the whole service, and then I went over for fellowship, and I was physically present. And I actually went up and talked to some people on my own. The occupant says, you know, I came to this church and I looked at what they're doing and I didn't really notice any ministries that interested me. I didn't think they had enough services. I'm not sure if this church is for me. But the builder says, you know what, I decided that I wanted to reach out to the church leadership and find out what I could do to help expand the ministries, what I could do to help expand the programs, what I could do to volunteer to support this church by acting on something that's been in my heart for a while. That's what the builder does. And it's easy for us to convince ourselves that we're builders when we're still occupants. Think about something as so beautiful as receiving Holy Communion. And yes, we come to receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ. We do this every time we gather for liturgy. But did we come to offer 100% of ourselves? We say this all the time in our services. As we stood before the chalice, were we there to commit ourselves and one another and our whole life to Christ our God? So here's the truth, dear builders, dear fellow builders. Holy Church, the Holy Trinity was completed in 1964, but the church is still under construction. And each generation adds something to that construction in much the same way that each generation added something to Notre Dame. And we're not even going into the reconstruction of the church, etc., but just in those initial 200 years of building. Now think about the generations that came before us. 1904, when the church was founded, the oldest Greek Orthodox church west of the Mississippi, absolutely right. That was when the great unwashed were coming to America. Three out of my four grandparents came over in that immigration, two of them from Greece. The churches then were much different with that huge influx of immigrants that happened in the first quarter of the 20th century. Then think about 1964, when occupancy was taken of this church. Belmont had already been built. There was still movement down the peninsula. Demographics were changing, but there were still lots of families in and around San Francisco. Today, we like to say that there are more dogs than children in San Francisco, but that's really not true. Apparently, it's about dead even. 120,000 dogs, 120,000 children. The demographics of San Francisco are different. But that's okay. We have to decide what the church is going to be in 2019, 2020, and the years that follow by the grace of God. That's up to us. Now here's the good news, fellow builders, is we're in a good place to do things. I would venture to say that by the grace of God, this church has never been in a more sound financial position. We have a full liturgical schedule and people come to the services. We have high participation in all the sacraments, including the confession. We have a vibrant small groups ministry. We have a well-established outreach program. All that's going on right now. How will you and I build on the history of 1904, the history of 1964? How will we build on that so that we can take full advantage of how richly blessed we are as a parish? And I will tell you right now, I don't have the answer to that question. That's a question that you and I have to answer together, and really sooner rather than later. And I submit that to you all this morning, because if we're honest about it, even though we have two parish assemblies every year, the next one is in May, Palm Sunday is really our parish assembly, if you think about it. And I know by looking out at you all and by being here today to be the only person distributing communion, that pretty much everybody I've seen before and seen lots before. We just always don't always come every Sunday. Sometimes we're not on the same Sunday together. I'm here almost every Sunday. But now we're all here together, and that's a good thing. And by the way, if you're a person who hardly comes at all, I'm not shaming you about that. I'm glad you're here and keep coming back. But here's the truth, is that all of us need to make an effort to be here together, to worship together, to commit ourselves and one another and our whole life to Christ our God, to gather around the chalice together. We need to be here as often as possible. Why? Not to validate my ego, not to make me feel good about being a priest or anything dopey like that. We need to be here together because you and I have a sacred calling, and that's to be builders, to be engaged in construction, and to be engaged in the construction on this beautiful thing that we call Holy Trinity Greek Orthodox Church. Now, just like the generations that built Notre Dame without seeing the ultimate outcome of their work, just like the apostles who were there for Palm Sunday and had no idea, really, that two millennia later we would be calling them saints and be grateful to everything they did so that we could have this saving religion, just like those people, We're called to labor together, not really knowing what's going to come in the future. Certainly not being able to predict what will happen in the generation after ours and two generations after ours, etc. But that's okay. Because you and I are not occupants, we're builders. And builders are totally okay with working on a project and letting somebody else pick up the hammer and the saw when their time has come to pass on. And we build why? We build because we have our eyes set not just on the future but on eternity, on our own salvation. And we labor on this construction project together so that 20, 30, 50, 100, 200, goodness knows how many years into the future, there will be people gathered in this space, or maybe another space that calls itself Holy Trinity, I don't know. They won't know my name, they won't know your name. But because of everything that you and I have done together, they'll be able to say on that Palm Sunday, someday in the future, what was said on the first Palm Sunday. Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. Hosanna in the highest.